love the fact we have the team from Wales Musical Theatre in the studio. We have got Phoebe, Lucy, Mark and John. Hi to all of you.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for joining us. And Ashley there sort of dodging sat in front of the microphone. You're going to be leaning over Ashley to speak to us this morning. So welcome to Radio Woking. Good to have you in the studio. So Sunshine on Leaf is the production you're currently working on. Opening night for that, or it opens on the 31st. And we're going to talk a bit about that in a bit. But I want to, first of all, I'm looking at Mark here because I'm thinking Mark might be able to tell us more about the background of Wales Musical Theatre. Now, you were established over 50 years ago, Mark.
I just don't understand why you're looking at me. Just probably because I'm the oldest person in the room.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Wales Musical Theatre has been an instrumental part of the local community for many, many years, doing at least two or three shows a year. It's very inclusive. It's had names who never thought they'd have anything to do with theatre at all come and join their ranks. And in some aspects, it changes your life forever. But, you know, it can also have an effect on those audiences who, over the years, have come to see those shows. And basically, name the show, and Wales has had a really good go at doing it. Sunshine on Leith being an example. You don't see it in the south of England very often, but here it is now, if you like, premiering in Woking.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Sunshine on Leith, it's not one of those that you instantly think, yeah, let's go and put that one on. But you were established, you said, 50 years ago, 1972, stands for Woking Amateur Operatic Society. So I guess that's how you started, and then you sort of branched out into sort of wider musical theatre over the years.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, one of my things about it, amateur only means unpaid.
Yeah.
And that is the only difference.
Yes.
The production quality that they, I mean, like any other company 50 years ago, wasn't quite the same quality that they achieve now, but with investment in people, the talent growing, people joining, people staying as well. It takes pride in having a number of people both on and off stage making the magic happen. The company has thrived to a point where it has the confidence, if you like, to do a show as difficult in some respects is Sunshine on Leith.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, because it hasn't been something that's been done locally. I certainly haven't seen this production done this part of the country. So it's kind of new territory, isn't it, for you? So what's the process of actually selecting? How did you decide to do Sunshine on Leith? Where did that sort of idea come from then?
So we have a group that reviews lots of musicals that we have access to, because obviously we need to obtain the licensing to shows. So we decide those a couple of years in advance. So we have a list of musicals lined up that we've obtained the licensing to and that we know that we're going to put on. So for now, we know at least the next three shows, maybe even four. So we've got a group that decides that and, you know, has a look at them, goes to see them and thinks, OK, is this suitable for our group? We're quite a big group, so we like to have big musicals so that we can include everybody that we possibly can.
Yeah, and I like what Mark was saying about amateur just being unpaid, because in every other respect, you are professional, you know. I mean, amateur seems to be not sort of the right word, really, just on the standards on productions.
You know, we're there because we're passionate about musical theatre. And for some, this is, you know, the first musical that they've ever done, but they want to be on the stage and they want to be singing and dancing and acting. For me, not so much the dancing, but the singing and the acting is great fun. And we just have such a good laugh. We rehearse on Mondays and Thursdays in Old Woking, and we're such a big family, but that doesn't mean that we can't have more people join us. We are always open to new members, and we will come at you with open arms.
Oh, that's really nice, and that really comes across. You know, you all get on, you're all big family, and I guess you kind of have social opportunities outside of what you're doing on the stage, you know, sort of meeting up and doing stuff.
Kind
of
pub.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to assume that, but yeah, okay, go down the pub. That sounds good.
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, and your membership then, you mentioned there's lots of people joining. Is this people from all sorts of backgrounds? I mean, is it just anyone and everyone comes through?
Yeah, so I'm an accountant by trade.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in treasury accounting, originally from South Africa. And this is my second show that I'm doing with Wales. So the first one was Made in Dagenham, the one we did in May. And it's absolutely been, it's been life-changing. In South Africa, you don't really ever get opportunities to do stuff like that unless you pursue this professionally. When I looked up Woking, decided to go for an audition last year, November, and it's honestly changed my life, and I've never looked back. So, yeah, people from all walks of life, accountant by day, musical theatre, individual by night.
I mean, that's a combination you wouldn't really expect if you see that on paper. Accountant and then musical theatre. They don't normally go hand in hand. So that's really interesting that people come. And when people come, they tend to then, you know, get hooked and stay for many, many years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, this is my third show with the company in 1 year. I only really joined because I work in Woking. I actually don't live here, but I worked, met some people who joined, and then, yeah, started with Adam's Family. This is my third show. I'm definitely going to stay for many, many more. So, yeah, I'm hooked now.
So I'm wondering, what actually attracted you, first of all, to become a member and get involved in this?
It's just a joy of performing, really. I've wanted to do something forever. And then when I joined my work, and people that work there have joined the company, they couldn't speak more highly of it. It's how lovely and supportive everyone is, and how everyone, there's always a place for someone, whether you're more singer, dancer, actor, whatever there is, there's something for you to do. And it's just very inclusive and, yeah, supportive, and it was just really fun to do.
And of course, the backstage roles as well. I mean, we see what happens on the stage, but, you know, there's all sorts of things, from marketing the show, lighting, sound, all those important things that the audience don't necessarily see on the night.
Oh, yeah, there's painting the sets. We built a car for the last show.
Okay.
To go on
built
the
a car? That's
built
not that
car,
fun.
Yeah, built a little Cortina out of wood for the last show. There's costumes, there's all sorts going on, yeah.
And Lucy, I love the idea of, you know, the your sort of level of theatre, you know, everyone's getting involved, and I suppose if someone's got an interest in theatre as well, I mentioned people from different backgrounds joining, but if someone's got an interest in a profession in theatre, actually this is a really good starting point, isn't it, to get those skills?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually started my career professionally in theatre, but haven't done musicals for a very long time. So I moved to Woking a couple of years ago and felt a little bit lost and found Wales. And as cliche as it sounds, I felt like myself again. So being able to perform on a stage as professional as the Rhoda McGaw in Woking is just great, and it makes me feel so good, and I'm so happy doing it. But it's not just on stage that we need people off stage too, because we could not be on stage without them. We'd be lost. We wouldn't have any lights, we wouldn't have any sound, we wouldn't have any set if we didn't have our people off stage as well. They're just as vitally important.
And these are the people that often, you know, get forgotten, don't they? You know, when people come and see the show, they see, you know, the talented actors on stage, but, you know, you forget that there's so much more that goes into it, you know, lighting and set design and everything else.
Yeah, if you see actors on a stage and you see us singing, we couldn't have been singing without the musical director. We wouldn't be put where we are without the director, and we wouldn't be on that stage and being able to be seen and heard without the rest of the team.
Okay. And Mark, how did you come involved in this then?
Well, in 1877
I was going to say, quite a long time ago then.
Oh, no, hang on, that was my previous life. I was 11 years old, and I'd grown up with theatre. Both my mum and dad had been in theatre. My dad predominantly playing some male leads and doing some TV work. So it wasn't unusual for me to end up in rehearsal halls on Sunday afternoons, started doing some plays, discovered that I don't have the ability to dance, as my colleagues here now will tell you. But I love storytelling. And in any good story, there is a lesson to be learned. And part of the thing about being in musical theatre is you get a chance to tell a story. How the person takes it or not, what they pull from it, is entirely up to them. But again, this show has a great set of stories going through it, so beautifully written, and it's just another chance for me to, I'm going to say at this point in my hobby acting career, just to tell one more great story that I think should be told.
And, you know, stories are so powerful, you know, and taking a story and bringing it alive and taking the audience on that journey as well. It's such a,
It is, but I just want to also echo what's already been said. I physically can't go on stage without the help and support of people around me. What you see on stage from any performer is only the result of many people's hard work, investment in trust, loyalty and friendship, and trust in the material. I'm actually holding the script up to the microphone. Not great radio. But you've got to have trust in the material as well.
Yes.
So it starts from, I mean, this the musical by Stephen Greenhorn, music by the Proclaimers. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
And all of those people... and the audience, don't forget the audience. Gosh, the audience, is it Tuesday night we open?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you, it's another rehearsal for me. No, the audience are the final thing that make
the piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, that make this piece work.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't do what you do if you didn't have the audience. Because
it's very difficult.
Yeah,
I have acted to an empty house.
Okay, that's an interesting experience. Yeah. And John, how did you become involved then?
Yeah, so I mean, I've always enjoyed performing as an accountant. Something you don't necessarily, you know, link together. But I've always enjoyed singing. I've always had a passion for the idea of, you know, acting and being on screen, being on stage. But I've never really had the opportunity in South Africa. I've had a couple of, you know, courses for acting on film.
Yeah.
And other than that, pretty much just sort of pub gigs and you know, singing wherever I can get the opportunity. Joined an a cappella group in London after we moved to the UK in 2021, and after we moved to Woking, decided maybe I should look to see if I can find some theatre, try and, you know, blend all these passions together. And yeah, found Woking, as I mentioned previously, went for audition last year November, and
here
it's
you are.
Honestly changed my life, and I will never ever look back to my life before Wales and musical theatre. So yeah, very thankful for the group and for the opportunity to be in a wonderful production such as Sunshine on Leith.
Yeah, and it must be a really great experience, you know, being on stage and then, you know, seeing the audience, you know, and talking to them maybe afterwards and having that sort of interaction. And actually, you know, all the months of planning, rehearsing, and then there you are opening up with people paying to come and see you. That's a real honour. Yeah.
It's honestly, it's amazing. And also just to echo the idea of the professionalism and the fact that this is amateur only by sort of name and we're not getting paid. But in terms of how it is actually presented on stage, my parents came to see the last show. They only know, you know, Broadway and West End type standards. And they honestly said that the previous production was West End quality. They couldn't believe that it was such a high quality for an amateur, quote unquote, group.
Yeah, it always seems unfair to refer to it as amateur theatre, doesn't it, sometimes?
That's always been my view.
No, definitely. It's anything but, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have a lot of audience members as well that come to more than one show. Mm. Like, they come to every single one. I was spotted in Starbucks once.
Oh, you've been recognised! Did you get asked for your autograph?
Oh, not quite, but if only, no. It was very sweet, yeah.
Wow, there you go. You know you made it when you get spotted in Starbucks.
In Starbucks.
But we're going to talk some more. We're actually going to play the Proclaimers, and we have got your advert as well. We've been playing you know, round the clock here on Radio Woking, telling everyone about it, so we're going to play that in a bit. Get some more Proclaimers songs on, and the Proclaimers Letter from America plays next here on Radio Woking. The time now is 11:21 with Phoebe, Lucy, Mark and John from Wales Musical Theatre. Looking forward to Sunshine on Leith, which is opening on Tuesday, Halloween night. You're opening up.
Yes.
There you go. Brilliant. So, I mean, we know we've talked a bit about Sunshine on Leith and how it's something that rarely gets performed outside of Scotland. So you're doing something that a lot of people may not have seen. People may not be familiar with a story. I know it was a film back in 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. But tell us, can you give us a bit of a synopsis of the story and you know, with that?
Well, the story is really around three couples, but the first two main characters are two guys returning from the Afghanistan war. They're returning to the world they once inhabited. They're returning to work. They're returning to their family. They're returning to try and find partners in lives. And then they kind of find partners in lives. And there's a whole story around each of those couples. And I don't want to give too much away because I want you to come and see it.
Yeah.
The other couple is Mum and Dad, Rab and Jean. And this is their story of a really, really locked together, happily married couple with kids and really got it together. But unfortunately, Rab has a past and it's going to catch up with him. Jean is going to find out. And that goes right the way through the show as well. So it's a love story. It's a meeting story. There's challenging storylines in there as well. Things which are really quite hard hitting, but wrapped up with some brilliant dialogue, wrapped up in fantastic music by the Proclaimers and brilliantly rearranged as well for theatre, and I mean brilliantly. And of course, the performances of the kind people around us in the studio, bringing it to life.
There you go, bringing all that to life. And I did watch, because I'm not familiar with the story, so I watched a trailer for the movie last night, and you know, it seems like, you know, upbeat, fun, spine tingling at times. It's more kind of emotional roller coaster, I guess.
The movie was directed by Dexter Fletcher. Mm-hmm. If you know Dexter Fletcher, he used to be an actor on TV. In fact, he and I have done a project together in the past, but not about that another time, in a completely different life. However, Dexter Fletcher really brought the film to life, and it is exactly as you describe it. The great thing about the show is got a little bit more time to go into a little bit more detail and put a bit more flesh on the bones of the characters.
Interesting. So if you've seen the film, then still come and obviously see this, because it's going to, as you say, give that sort of more time to kind of explore the characters and get to know them in a different light, I'd imagine.
And also it goes into a bit more of the music. So in the film, a lot of the numbers are shortened. You get sort of, you know, summarized versions, essentially, of the actual music, where here you've got the full 2-3 minute numbers.
Great.
You know, beautiful music by the Proclaimers, brilliantly arranged.
What I love about the Proclaimers is the fact that, Mark, I believe you went to see them at the G Live, and you got them to go on stage and do a shout out for what you're doing.
I can't quite take brilliant. Credit for that. But what happened is we got a brilliant marketing team at Wales, and I said I'm going to see the Proclaimers at G Live. And I did, with my partner. Had a great evening and met them afterwards as well. Two nicer people you couldn't hope to meet and have a chat with. But our marketing team managed to get a message to them via ATG, I think. And they're standing on stage, and all of a sudden they stop and say, "We've got an announcement to make. Sunshine on Leith is coming to us," and so on. And I think you might have a recording.
Yes, I have. You weren't expecting this. This was a surprise for you, was it, in the audience?
It's a surprise.
Let's have a listen. I think we should have a listen to this.
Let's have a listen.
This was given to me before the show. The Woking Amateur Operatic Society are doing a run of Sunshine on Leith from the 31st of October. At the Road of the Gore Theatre. I would like to dedicate this one to them. They won't be doing this one because it's one of our favourite songs, but they wouldn't allow it in the musical because it's still a little bit too political. But we always do it, and it's called Cap in Hand.
That was brilliant. I mean, what was going through your head, Mark, when you heard that? You thought, they're talking about you on stage. You're great.
Well, I was really pleased because it had an amazing impact. It had an amazing impact on ticket sales, and also just kind of, it's the boys up there talking about our show, their work, and really positively in such a nice way. And they didn't sort of go, and then move on. Every single word they sort of said about where it is and what they're doing. So the actual feeling was thank you to them, because they didn't have to do that.
No. And to be to be valued and sort of, you know, being respected in that way as you know, the as your drama group, as Wales Musical Theatre, to have the actual, you know, the Proclaimers talking about your work.
Well, if you listen to that again, you can hear a loud cheer.
And that's you. That was you. That surprise cheer. There you go. Brilliant that you were able to record it as well. That's brilliant to hear. So, I mean, one thing that springs to mind, Sunshine Lee, obviously the accents. How do you go about learning all this sort of northern Scottish accents? How does that happen?
With much pain.
I'm a South African, so I speak with an accent continuously, and I get reminded every single day about that. So for me, every single accent is a foreign accent. It was definitely, I think, a tough thing to do. I think I was more comfortable with a Scottish accent than I was with an English accent for the previous show. But I think for me, the process that I followed is I listened to a lot of clips from, you know, famous Scottish individuals. I listened to a lot of the Proclaimers in interviews, listened to David Tennant, listened to Kevin Bridges, which was probably a bit extreme, listened to Lewis Capaldi. So those sort of people thinking about the vowel sounds, what actually makes the accent, the words, Scottish, vowels, consonant, those sort of things, and then sort of worked from there. And also getting comfortable with the text, reading it in a Scottish accent in my head, and then actually saying it, getting used to all those sounds in my sort of in my mouth.
Is it quite hard switching it on, switching it off? I mean, I was thinking you're going to Tesco's and suddenly find you're asking for donuts in a Scottish accent. I mean,
I certainly speak to my boyfriend in a Scottish accent regularly. Okay. I think it does just
Did that
happen.
Surprise him? He's like, who is this?
He joins in, actually. Oh. We have a great time. No, but it is really hard. You know, we've spent the last 6 months trying to perfect the accent as much as we can. And I think it has just come a lot more naturally to us in the past couple of months when we've been running the show and going through it in a lot more detail. We do have a resident Scottish in the building, and she is playing Jean. She's playing Mark's wife in the show. So, you know, we're all a bit... on tenterhooks every time we say a line, in case we have something wrong.
She hasn't had to learn the accent because she's got the accent already. I mean, it's brilliant.
We're very jealous.
So let's talk a bit about the characters that you're playing. So Phoebe, tell us about your character.
So I'm playing the celebrity chef, and I'm also in the ensemble. It's very ironic casting because I cannot cook at all.
You didn't have to learn to cook for this. I mean,
unless you want super noodles or beans on toast. Not me.
Is that your speciality, is it? Super noodles, okay, pot noodles and things. Yeah, okay.
You know, I have a very sweet little short scene with Rab, who Mark plays, where Rab is just asking for a bit of advice after an argument, not going to give too much away. Nope. But it's a very very sweet, quite funny little scene. And then I'm also in the ensemble, and I do a lot of dancing. I do have to sing in a Scottish accent.
How did you find the accent then?
Being the chef, I managed to get away with it, because I've gone with the vibe that I'm on a book tour, so I just happen to be in Scotland.
I like what you've done there. Yeah. That's brilliant.
So I managed to get away with it, but singing in a Scottish accent has been quite tricky.
And Lucy, tell me about Liz is your character then.
Yes, so Liz is the daughter of Rab and is also the brother of Davey. So Liz is one of the main characters who's going on her own journey. She is the girlfriend of Ali, who's just returned from war with Davey. And they're going through their own journey. Mm-hmm. And she is looking to do different things with her life, let's say. So she's going on that individual path and that might not be what other people want her to do.
Okay. Tree. And Mark, you're playing Rab the father, so can you tell us a bit about your character?
Hi, Rab the father.
Oh, we get the accent and everything.
I'm the father of Liz and Davey. I've reached a certain point in my life where I think I've got everything sorted, at least two out of three things sorted. I'm looking at my cast there, so they should know what I mean. You know, Rab, he's a security officer. He has settled for maybe the medium in life, but is happy with it. He has a relationship with his son that will become clear in the story. Hasn't always been the closest and the easiest, and he's going to miss his daughter. It's the shock of what he has done in his past that really forms the character in the show, and we won't go into that.
No, we have to come and see it to find out more.
Come and see it, but a lovely part for the same.
And John, tell us about your character.
Brilliant. So I play the role of Davey Henshaw, who is returning from Afghanistan. Spend time there in the war. I have to just practice the Scottish accent every now and then just to make sure it still sits nicely on the tongue. This character has been a lot of fun. So essentially, coming back from Afghanistan, trying to integrate themselves back into everyday life in Leith, in Edinburgh, and then new love, trials and tribulations of that, dealing with also the past and sort of difficult relationships he's had with his family in the past, and those sort of things creep up throughout the show. So it's been a lot of fun and a lot of nice musical numbers that the characters are involved in. So it's honestly been an honour.
So I'm loving the Scottish accents. Lucy and Phoebe, I'm probably going to ask you if you could say something in your Scottish accent, if you don't mind. I'm putting you completely on the spot there.
After you, Phoebe.
You go first.
I don't really have to do one, to be honest,
There, it comes down to you then, Lucy.
I don't know about that.
that's good. I'm loving the accents. Oh, there you go. Sorry to embarrass you there, but it's yeah, really good, and it's all this work coming together for opening night on Tuesday. You've got sort of tech rehearsals and dress rehearsals. In fact, you're busy this afternoon, aren't you? So what's happening this afternoon?
Yes, we've got a band call this afternoon, which is where we meet the band and sing with them for the first time, which is always very exciting. And then we're going straight into technical rehearsals. It's the first time we go to the theatre, and that's probably one of the longest rehearsals. Because we just need to make sure that we are being seen and heard. And tomorrow we have our dress rehearsal. So, yes, it's very busy before opening night. But we're running all the way through till Saturday. So, and there's two shows on Saturday. So if you can't come to an evening performance, or, you know, you're like me and you like to be in bed by 9 p.m, you can come to the matinee. So there's no excuses.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to say about the band call is shout out to Alex. Alex, RMD, has taken this project, the music. He has added some flourishes to it, let's call it that, which have worked brilliantly with it, whilst it has made rehearsing a little bit more challenging, because we can't go from the book so much, we've got to go from whatever. The degree of preparation, input that is done, writing that is done, rehearsal aids that is done, and I am so looking forward to this afternoon, because it's the first time we're going to hear his band playing the music of the Proclaimers we're singing along, and it is an oh wow moment, and I am so looking forward to it.
And he's one of the brightest minds. He is
completely
exceptional.
So it's like a creative reimagination of the Proclaimers music, sort of making it fit what you're doing. So it's all coming together.
Yes.
Brilliant. We're going to talk some more. We're going to get the sport, have a quick look at the travel as well, and we'll remind you in a bit as well how we can get tickets. So stay tuned in. It's Radio Woken, and it's Sunday morning. It's 19 minutes away down there for the most number of people we can get in the building, because Luke's turned up. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah. It's still morning for another 11 minutes.
Afternoon. Morning.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Depends if you remember to change your clocks, because it will be afternoon.
Of course, yeah,
if
it would be afternoon. Yeah.
Did you remember the clocks change?
I did. Yes. I was actually awake for that.
Okay. That's good. That's good. You got out of bed before.
I couldn't fall asleep last night for some reason, so I was, you know, I watched the clocks change 1 o'clock. I was like, I think I was about half asleep, so it was a bit like, oh, it's 1 o'clock again. Oh,
I keep wanting to do that. You know, when the clocks change, I want to sit up and watch it go from, like, change it when it changes, because that would be quite a monumental experience.
it's really confusing, because it's like, oh, it's 2 o'clock, and then all of a sudden you check the time again, it's 1 o'clock, it's a bit like,
you've just gone back in time.
Have I just travelled in the past?
Well, there you go, time travelling, it happens, it's a thing. Yeah. We're in the studio, we're chatting a bit, Luke, about what you're coming up for us, including details of shout outs for Rose's cake sale, I believe, later. We'll talk more about that. Luke's with you from 12 o'clock. We are in the studio here at Radio Woken, not only with Luke, we've also got Mark, John, Phoebe and Lucy from Wales Musical Theatre. Sunshine on Lee opening on Tuesday. Halloween, of course, on Tuesday. And you were saying, actually, that as part of your band call today, you have to go in Halloween costumes.
Yes, it is like an unspoken rule that we must dress up.
But it's top secret, is it?
It's top secret. Nobody knows what anybody's going as. It's top secret. We like to keep it a surprise. So, yes, we will be dressing up.
Oh, okay. But look out. I guess there'll be pictures all over your social media and everything like that.
Yes, I imagine so. Before we have to get into our Sunshine on Leith costumes, which are just regular wear, really.
That's
we're quite lucky
stuff.
With that. The last couple of shows. Well, no. For you, really?
So do you have somebody that's in charge of, like, sourcing the costumes? Where do the costumes come from?
The company's quite good. It's got a very good costume store. And folks like Sue and many others put costumes together for the rest of us and sort of hunt through them. Some of us have been in theatre for some time and have wardrobes full of costumes that they've used before.
The same one comes out again and again.
Pulled out his costume or some of it. So it's a combination of what some of us have at home, what the costume store has. Sometimes you have to hire as well. I believe your kilt has been purchased especially for it.
Military stuff as well.
So it's a real, team effort. And thank you to all the people with the needles and thread. Without them, nothing would fit me. Moving on.
Yeah, I'd be hopeless for needle and thread. Seriously.
Safety pins for me.
Yeah. you just got to hope that nothing falls off when you're actually on stage. That would be embarrassing. Has that happened? Have you had wardrobe malfunctions on stage?
Yeah. Anything we could talk about? just a few years ago. And most characters that I play end up getting murdered, or I'm the baddie, and I was being a baddie in this one, and they had to drag me off stage three times in a repeating scene. The first time they did it, the sole of my shoe fell off. And I had 5 seconds to reset and get back on again in the same position, knowing I didn't have a sole on my shoe. Interesting times.
I can imagine, but I guess you have to make it sort of part of the show, I suppose. And
acting.
Yeah. Acting, that's what it is. That's what they call it.
Let's hope they're not wearing the kilts traditionally. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, no, I was going to say, this could be quite interesting. So, how do we get tickets then for Suntongli?
So, you can go to the atgtickets.com website. If you head to the venues, go to the Rhoda McGaw venue in Woking, and you'll be able to purchase tickets to Suntongli, which is happening from Tuesday the 31st of October to Saturday the 4th of November. And like I said, there are two shows on Saturday, so please come and see us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Even if you've seen the film, come and see this, because you'll get a different perspective when you're saying.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Best of luck for that. I'm sure it's going to be brilliant, as indeed all your productions are. And it's just brilliant that you have that relationship with the Rhoda McGaw. I mean, having that facility, that theatre available for you is just brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you for coming to see us here at Radio Woking. Opening night on Tuesday. You've got all the stuff between now and then. And have a happy Halloween, all of you, as well. Enjoy your costumes. Be interested. I'm going to look at your social medias. Oh, can we find you on social media? How do we find out more about the group?
Yep, you have her on Instagram.
Yeah.
I can't remember what
her
handle is now.
I'm like that. I'm on there. I don't know what I'm calling
that. I think it's Weos MT, but you'll find us if you type in Weos.
Weos, yes.
Google Weos.
Google Weos, and you'll find all the stuff there. And you have your website as well, which is Weos Musical Theatre. If you Google that, you'll be able to find it.